Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Daniel Dickinson at the United Nations in New York. This week we have an exclusive in-depth interview focusing on sexual exploitation and abuse. The UN has described abuse allegations made against people serving the organisation and others as sickening and has pledged thorough investigations while also offering support to victims. In February this year, the UN Secretary-General appointed Jane Hole-Lute as Special Coordinator on improving the United Nations' response to sexual exploitation and abuse. In her first major interview since taking the post, I began by asking her how extensive the problem of abuse is.
It frankly is a global scourge. There's not a family, a school, an organization, a military, a government, or any activity free from this problem. We have that problem as well in the UN.
It's a particular problem in peacekeeping, though, isn't it?
It is a particular problem wherever women, children, and vulnerable are present. It's particularly outrageous when peacekeepers are accused of these acts because they were sent to protect the vulnerable. But this is not a particular problem for peacekeeping, but it is particularly outrageous when it occurs by peacekeepers because of this trust that's placed in peacekeepers and in the UN and development workers and in humanitarian assistance workers. They are sent there to protect these populations.
What damage do you think this is doing to the United Nations in particular?
I think any time you have serious allegations of widespread misbehavior, particularly of this nature, it has every manner of adverse effects. Certainly it has reputational effects and sets back the reputation of the organization. It has operational effects. It has economic effects and social effects. Again, and the worst effects, obviously, are felt by the victims and their families and their societies. It's hard to overstate the adverse effects of these kinds of serious allegations.
To what extent do you think the UN in the past has not done enough to face up to this particular issue?
Certainly, the UN has recognized that it has a problem and has taken action. When I was first assigned to the United Nations more than 10 years ago, this was an issue that I dealt with extensively with colleagues to address allegations that had emerged that time in the field. But I would say, and I say this advisedly, the UN is singular, and this Secretary General is singular in his voice and emphasis on identifying this scourge, calling it out, and urging the organization to do more. There is more that we can do and should be doing because these incidents continue to occur. Whenever they occur, they're unacceptable, and we need to do more to strengthen the prevention aspects of this as well as immediate response.
How do you strengthen the prevention aspects?
In the first instance, we want to be a standards-bearing organization, so we need to make very clear what are the standards. What are the standards of behavior that are expected of everyone who operates under the UN flag, either as an employee, as a military, police, working with us as contractors? What are the standards that are expected? Certainly, no one expects abuse, sexual abuse, abuse of children, abuse of vulnerable populations and women. And we need to make this really very clear. And we need to make the consequences of having these accusations validated be very clear as well. So to strengthen prevention, you need to start with very clear standards. Some units, for example, don't allow forces in their off-duty time to travel in civilian clothes or to go except in supervised group visits into town in contact with local population.
Are those best practices making any difference right now?
They absolutely do make a difference where units are observing them. We have a number of units that have no incidents of sexual exploitation and abuse.
So it is possible to reduce sexual abuse to zero within the system?
I think it is possible. Now, people say it's impossible because you'll always have people who are crossing the line. You know, what is exploitation? Is transactional sex really abuse? I mean, it's certainly against UN rules. Can we drive the incidents to zero? We must have that as our goal.
How do you feel personally to be leading the UN on this particular issue? You seem very passionate about it.
I think anyone who has children, anyone who's spoken to victims, feels passionate about this issue. The world has a real problem. There's no family, church, school, office, activity where this isn't an ever-present danger. We need to wake up to that fact and say, we are not going to tolerate that. We all have to do what we can.
UN troops and other people serving under the United Nations flag have been accused of sexual abuse in the Central African Republic, as well as in other UN peacekeeping operations. Non-UN forces are also facing allegations. I'm Daniel Dickinson, and I asked Special Coordinator Jane Hall-Lute why it's been so difficult to bring perpetrators to justice.
The member states in all cases, particularly with the military, retain jurisdiction for the meting out of justice when serious accusations of misconduct have been raised. But very often, just as in any society, due process is entitled to those who stand accused. Those processes can sometimes take a very long time. Undersecretary General Kare has called for the shortening of investigative times from 180 days to 90 days. There have been a number of cases that have faced justice, and peacekeeping, of course, keeps track of these details as they know them. Egypt, for example, conducted a trial of an accused immediately. South Africa has conducted trials. Tanzania has conducted trials. The DRC as well. So we're beginning to see this kind of accountability because member states, in the face of these accusations, understand that what people really want to know is what happened. Was justice done?
Will the UN refuse to take troops from a particular country if they don't meet the high standards that are expected of them?
This was a position that we took over 12 years ago. These are decisions for the leadership of peacekeeping, for the leadership of the organization. My responsibilities really rest in coordinating the system's response to strengthen our prevention activities and strengthen our response when allegations are received.
Would having more women peacekeepers help?
Many people believe that it would. In fact, that it creates a more realistic environment where people find themselves in everyday lives, surrounded by men and women and others. We exist in vibrant, heterogeneous societies where respect for gender is increasingly demanded.
Is the UN doing enough for victims?
Each case individually is horrific and scars an individual for a lifetime, quite frankly. And very often that effect extends more broadly to their family and to their society. In the first instance, we have to step up our game in getting them the immediate assistance they need when they come forward. Medical care, psychosocial counseling, protection from further danger if they speak out. Victims very often, though, we find just want this to stop. They want to put this incident behind them and end it as rapidly as possible. We need to give them the assistance they can to recover and rebuild their lives. But many victims also want to see that justice is done. So in addition to assistance, in addition to protection, they want to see justice, and we need to do our part.
Have you met victims?
Oh, yes.
How was that?
It's a searing experience for anyone to sit and hold the hand of someone who's had their person violated in the most intimate way. Some of these acts you can't even imagine. And they can describe it in graphic detail, so you don't have to imagine it. You can relive it with them, but in the reliving of it, they're victimized again. So what we have to do is have a system that minimizes the trauma that they've experienced, in the sense not to minimize it and to make light of it in any way, shape, or form, but not to re-victimize them through repeated interviews, repeated exposure to authority. Tell your story again and again and again. They didn't want to live it the first time. We should minimize the need for them to relive it again and again, but bring them aid, bring them protection, and bring them justice.
As Special Coordinator, do you have a message for those victims, a personal message for those victims?
My personal message is I am so very, very sorry and deeply, deeply regret what they had to experience, and that I and all of my colleagues wake up every single day thinking of ways that we can prevent the next victim from having to face this fate, and thinking of ways that we can more rapidly, more effectively, and more suitably bring assistance, protection, and justice to you. But there is nothing I can say that can undo the damage that was done, but just to stand in solidarity and say we will do our best not to let this happen again.
Jane Hall-Lute, the Special Coordinator on Improving the United Nations Response to Sexual Exploitation and Abuse. You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.